Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Immediately next to Seminole Bend. The developer is Miranda, and they've been harming my property and my peace and quiet. They need to clean up their act before they can be building homes. My property line with Miranda is over 900 feet. The prior state of the property line was thick trees and dense vegetation and fencing. Where my dog could exercise back in my backyard without getting loose. Miranda promised a lot to me that they would not touch any tree along the property line. They talked about a 10 to 20 foot tree buffer. They talked about being a good neighbor and not scorching the earth like they did it, like was done at Kahili Ridge.
This is Jody Grenga, I believe is how you say her name. This is from the Escambia County Commission meeting, and she came to them because there was a final plat approval on the agenda of a sort, more on that later, for this subdivision that's being built at basically at the I-10 and Beulah Road is roughly the vicinity here. And she says, look, I've had a property outside the development adjacent to it. I had a big tree buffer. I have a dog that runs around in the backyard. I believe she's disabled partially from military service. And so, you know, she needs the fence for her dog. Miranda came in and said that they were going to work with me. And then in the end, they wind up tearing down trees, destroying 500 feet of my fence, making life miserable for me. Can you please help me? County Commission, can you please help me with this? Chris Kerb.
I know how staff gets told that, hey, you know, this is a civil matter. You know, civil matter is a cop-out half the time. It's because you don't want to deal with it. All I ask is you don't approve this final plat tonight, because as soon as you approve this final plat, building permits are going to start getting issued, and they're going to start selling houses. They're going to start building, and they're going to forget all about Doc over here.
Yeah, and, you know, that she's never going to get a remedy out of them for...
Miranda broke its promises. Every day this is an eyesore that I get to see. The carnage is enough to make anybody who sees the before and after photos queasy. Miranda trespassed on my property. They ignored the county's order to get my written permission before they took out my fence. They took out 500 foot plus sections of my fence.
And as a friend or ally of hers anyway, Cecilia Campbell said,
she could have lived anywhere. She moved from Texas, leaving her elderly mother. She could have lived anywhere, but she came to Pensacola because she loves the water and because she, as a veteran, as a disabled veteran, she needed access to NAS. And so she came to Beulah thinking she was with like-minded people. And this situation has just really devastated her.
And I can imagine. You're a homeowner and a subdivision's coming in next to you and you think you're going to get one thing. And in the end, the allegation is that they moved stakes for the survey. There's been a conflict over where the property line is, conflict over the property line. They took out trees that she says they were not supposed to take out. They took out her fence that she thought was well on her property, within her property. And she's livid, and, I mean, understandably so. Put yourself in her position, right? So County Attorney Allison Rogers jumps into this conversation, basically, and says, by the way...
I just want to make sure the board understands what is happening here. Right. So the state legislature, and this is important for you all to understand, so the state legislature during this past session changed the law and literally took away from the Board of County Commissioners the authority to approve final plats.
What?
It dictated in that statutory change that they have to be administratively processed, and this plat has already been approved. This is already an approved plat. That is not what you're being asked to vote on tonight, and this is a change that has happened very quickly. The state statute went into effect very quickly.
What? We talked about this with Brad Baker yesterday a little bit, Santa Rosa County Administrator. No, the legislature took the power away from the county commission to approve final plats. It gets done by staff. Are you kidding? It boggles my mind. This is the most insane thing. I did not know this bill was up. I did not know this bill passed. I haven't seen any news reports on this bill. But I asked Brad. He said, yeah. And Allison Rogers, the attorney for Escambia County, says, yeah, you don't have any choice. Nothing you can do. Staff approved. That's it. The elected accountable officials have no role to play in any of this.
The resolution up above that you just voted on designates that the planning director is the one signing off on plats now. You were obligated to make a change to an administrative person in an administrative review process. I think the idea was that speeds up approvals.
So Horace has all the authority to approve plats? Good Lord.
So this is just you officially accepting the infrastructure dedicated to you on the plat that's already been approved. And this is also helping you preserve a two-year warranty so that we have some recourse if that infrastructure goes bad in the next 2 years.
So what she's saying is that the board has no authority. Horace Jones gets to make the call as planning director or whatever his title is, what he does. And all that she was able to get is that in trade they get a 2-year warranty on the public infrastructure. That's what they kind of negotiated out of the deal where they don't have any authority. Mike Kohler.
Am I hearing that Horace gets final authority on this?
Yes.
An employee.
Elected officials get bypassed?
Not just bypassed. I mean, it's before you even see it.
Well, that's great. I'll thank the state legislator for that.
I'm just dumbfounded. The state legislature took the power to review subdivision plats entirely out of the hands of the elected officials and put it into the hands of the appointed staff, the hired staff that work for them. And the public doesn't really have any input on this, and there's no final hearings, and there's no public, I mean, there's public notice, but not like the process is done internally. Honestly, if I ever had a reason to quote Michelle Salzman.
What, the Florida?
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's so right. All right, brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that accident on I-10 westbound. It's well off to the side of the road right around mile marker number 17. I'm not seeing any delays in that area. If you're on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road, right around the East 10 Mile Road, you're seeing some delays. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see those construction delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You know, somebody texts in 437-1620 and says, it's absurd that this is done, but why is nobody asking Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman why they voted for it? Well, I don't know what they voted. I've not yet got to that stage of my investigation, but I will. I mean, give me a reason, and I will ask. I don't know who voted. I don't even know the bill number. This is like such a shock to me. This is the craziest thing. I mean, think about the opportunity for error or corruption or, this is never how you should do things. A staffer is the person who's going to be in charge of all this stuff? Ashley Hofberger?
Don't accept this plat?
You don't get to make that decision.
It says sign the final plat, though.
He's already signed the plat.
So what are we voting on number two?
You're voting to accept the infrastructure that was dedicated to the county on the plat.
So what if we vote not to do that? What happens?
Well, then you're going to have a subdivision with no public infrastructure in it.
Which would be hard for the developer to sell, I imagine.
Good point.
Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, crazy. And listen, I don't know exactly where to lay the blame. Mike Kohler's the chairman of the county commission. He's just hearing this for the first time, too. And apparently several of the other board members didn't know this was the case. This is insane.
So will we see these in the future?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a challenge. My colleagues across the state, this was a big issue at the statewide conference because this is a sea change from the way this has been dealt with for the last several decades.
And at least texters say this is means the developers can and will be putting extra pressure directly on the planning directors to approve their projects. There's no ultimate accountability to the voters for any of this. I mean, it's all super indirect. Somebody says, which lobbyists were advocating for this? I mean, I can see it from the developer's point of view. They want to make things easy for themselves, I'm sure, right? Is that best for the citizens? Now, in this particular case, here's where it kind of got interesting to me. Remember, the original reason they were talking about this was not about the final plat approval, which they didn't really have the ability to do. It was about this, you know, damage to this woman's fence and to her trees and the allegations over whose property line it was over. Allison comes back and says, okay, kind of put aside your shock and awe about what the legislature has done to take away your power to approve final plats and just realize that this isn't really your matter anyway. It's really a civil matter between her and the developer.
I know that they were involved in this situation and did the best they could, but the bottom line reality is if it's a private owner and a private owner, that is beyond what we have the ability to deal with. We can't judge that. I mean, things happen in the field all the time between private contractors, developers, drivers, whatever, and they may harm someone's private property. Just because it's being done under a county plat or a approved plat or a county permit does not make the county responsible for it. You'd be buying the liability of every architect, engineer, developer, contractor in the entire county, and that is not your legal responsibility.
And I actually get that. I do. I get that argument that, you know, we shouldn't be in the middle of these kind of disputes. But should a property owner who's been wronged, as I suspect she has been, have no recourse at all through politics and just, you got to go to court and sue them? I mean, part of the value of having a government is that you can go to the government and say, hey, you're at least as powerful as the developers. Help. Work with me. Use your leverage. Stephen Barry.
You know, going forward, if it's not things that we have to take up, let's not take them up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's whether it's this item or other items, if they're.
Yeah, I mean, if the state legislator got rid of
we don't have any
rule.
Authority.
Yeah,
there's
I
no
agree.
Reason
I totally
to have.
Agree.
I mean, there's. I mean, and you know.
So we really don't have any authority.
Well, it appears it's been usurped at a minimum. And, we have secondary authority, which I don't know what that's worth. But
yeah, it's not worth much.
See, I don't see how it's any value to us nor the public to have an item on an agenda where we're accepting the infrastructure that it would only get onto an agenda because the senior staff is interpreting that they've met the requirements. It would only be on the agenda because it's being signed off on by legal and by Horace. So it's only getting on the agenda because we're saying they checked all the boxes. We being the county is saying they checked all the boxes. That means the board has no right to turn it down. So what we're going to do is we're going to create these circuses where the public is going to come and say, well, you know, this is not done correctly. I know, you know, it's not correct. And then we are going to have to override what the public is saying.
Yeah, I mean, I get where he's coming from. He doesn't want to take the blame for something they don't have any power to stop. But I mean, you know, who's supposed to stand up for people?
If the only outcome that I can have for an item being on the agenda is to approve it, I don't want that on the agenda. Right. It's being disingenuous to the public that's going to come and speak about it, and it's putting us in a no-win situation.
Right, which that's challenging, and I think what Stephen wants to do is avoid looking bad for having an item come before him that he can't stop anyway, and people complaining about, like in this case, people are showing up talking about an injustice, and he's basically saying, what do you want me to do about it? The state legislature preempted our power and gave all the power to Horace Jones. What can we do about it?
You know, you want to be involved because they're your constituency, so you want to help. But, you know, if they have a survey and, you know, if there's two parties that have the surveyors, that have different surveys, the two surveyors, you would think maybe they would dig their heels in, but at least a couple times that I've dealt with it, that one of the surveyors has said, you know what, they're actually right. in both of those instances. One has said, well, you know what, I'm actually wrong in this.
So he's sort of optimistically hoping we can get a couple of folks together and, you know, figure it out. Of course, a little late for the fence and the trees, right?
We're going to move this tonight, but it's not over, okay? We're not going to, there's no guarantees, but I will work with you, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, right,
and
yes,
I'll,
ma'am.
And Steve, if you don't, I'll ask her. I'll try to see. I don't know who the site contractor is for the project, but I do have relationships with many
okay.
of them. I'll
Thank
try
you.
To see if it's somebody that I know.
So the Steve Barron, Steve Stroberger, both saying we're going to try to help. We don't really have a lot of authority to do too much here, but we can, you know, we have clout and a title. We can talk to some folks and see if we can get you some resolution, a little bit of, something. But, man, I just – by the way, somebody texted in, and I was just reading it a little bit. It is SB Senate Bill 784, entitled Platting. And both Michelle Salzman and Alex Andrade voted for it. It was unanimous, by the way. The vote was unanimous. Was, you know, just, Lord, what? Just what? John, I mean, I'm getting texts in from y'all who are equally baffled and outraged, and my God, you know? John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about right now that on 98 in East Bay Boulevard, I'm seeing just some minor delays there, but the major delay is on 98 westbound headed toward the Garson Point Bridge through that construction zone. And also we have a, where was it? Okay. Also have a semi blocking the intersection of Palafox and Burgess. So be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, somebody texted in. I think this is appropriate. They said, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a certain movie quote.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
I love it. That is so true.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Judge not that ye be not judged. Consider with me what that really means. That phrase is not a command against making judgments, but in contrast, Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is a command to judge properly. It's so easy to find fault in others, but the first rule of proper judgment is to consider and address your own faults. The second rule is to be sure that your judgments are clear and not clouded by a self-serving carnal agenda. Thirdly, don't waste your judgments on people who won't value them. For example, if you have a very valuable pearl necklace and you cast it into a pig pen, that would be foolish because the pigs don't understand the worth of the pearls. In the same way, you should be cautious with where you cast your valuable Bible-based judgments. So judge wisely.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Jealous, are you?
Jealous? Oh, come on, Sandy. Don't make me laugh. Ha, ha, ha.
I'm gonna be the Madonna.
Yeah, a lot of people are just completely befuddled by the restriction on the county commissions that they have no say on final plat approval. One person suggests, well, don't accept the infrastructure. That'll solve this problem. Another person suggests, hey, future approvals by the same company could be held up if they don't, you know, do what they're supposed to do. I just still cannot believe that the legislature saw fit to put all the authority for final plat approval in the hands of a hiree, an employee, the director of development. I think in Santa Rosa County, didn't Brad tell us it was kind of a group of people, not just one person? That's a better approach. Somebody else says that actually there's an additional bill. The first bill is HB 784. The second bill is HB 381. And that limits the time for review to 2 weeks. So somebody comes to you with a 400-lot subdivision plat, and you've got 2 weeks to figure out if everything's cool. And what, then it passes regardless of whether the director approves it, and the county commission has no final... I mean, this is insane. You talk about controlling growth and giving people power. This is the exact opposite.
Fox News, I'm Angelo Bavaro. President Trump upping the ante on his crime crackdown.
Anybody murders something in the Capitol, capital punishment, capital punishment.
The commander-in-chief says the Justice Department will seek the death penalty in all murder cases in D.C. President Trump says he's ready for a court fight over his firing of Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
President Trump says he has cause to fire Cook because of an allegation of mortgage fraud from the Federal Housing Finance Agency. The president denies his action is related to Cook joining a majority of board members opposed to an interest rate reduction.
Cook's lawyer calls that firing unlawful and is filing a lawsuit. Cracker Barrel scrapping its modern logo redesign after pushback, including from President Trump. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 70 degrees. We've got cloudy skies right now. Of course, we've got our forecast on the way with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola responding yesterday to FDOT's mandated removal of a BLM mural on North A Street, and the city asking FDOT to get the work done for them.
I think it's fine. We have a great relationship with FDOT, and we don't take that for granted. Obviously, not every government can say that, but you know, you work at it. And you know, my feeling is, I'm not going to speak for FDOT on their feeling, but I felt that we were very clear and that we understand compliance coming from federal and state. And but you know, an organization of that size to be able to move that nimbly, and you know, that we would appreciate their help in being able to take that on.
And Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he says the city officially sent a response letter to FDOT yesterday. He says a city this size only has so much manpower, and they already have a lot of critical projects, potholes and emergency sidewalk repairs that need to be done. He says that project would also involve road closures, possibly on Cervantes, which is a state road and out of the city's control. Well, Governor DeSantis was on Fox News yesterday. He was talking about H-1B visas. He told Fox that he thinks the visa program is a scam. The governor says the program is used by companies to lay off American workers and suppress wages, and he compared it to indentured servitude. A 56-year-old Holt woman has been arrested for allegedly threatening to shoot up the Sandy Sansing Mazda dealership. Kellyanne Bolton was taken into custody in late July in Okaloosa County and extradited to Escambia County Jail the following day. She faces charges of making an electronic threat to conduct a mass shooting. And the incident happened back in June when an employee was attempting to collect insurance information on a vehicle Bolton had purchased. She was frustrated, and Bolton reportedly sent a text to the dealership's sales phone stating, quote, "I'm about to be the one that shoots a place up. I'm scaring myself. I'm not feeling boundaries," end quote. Bolton denied making the threat and said she doesn't own a gun, but the phone records did link her to that message. She's since been released on jail after posting $7,500 bond. Bolton has pleaded not guilty. She's due back in court in November. A Fort Walton Beach man facing several years in federal prison after pleading guilty on multiple drug-related charges, including conspiracy to distribute controlled substances, money laundering, from 2018 to 2023, 35-year-old Taj Tariq Tambora Robinson was reportedly a key distributor in a drug trafficking organization that supplied cocaine, fentanyl, methamphetamine, and marijuana all across northern Florida. His operation involved laundering profits through real estate and vehicles that were purchased under false identities. After his guilty plea, Robinson was sentenced to 13 years in prison. 735 at News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still dealing with the accident that happened on 98 and East Bay Boulevard. It's going westbound as you approach the Garcon Point Bridge, which has got traffic tied up not only due to that, but also the construction in that area. Also, if you're on Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10, you're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, you're going to see about a 10 to 12 minute just congestion delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures slightly below average, topping out around 87 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Rain chances build back into the forecast on Friday, 30% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 70 degrees, cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Abercrombie & Fitch narrowly beat Wall Street's expectations thanks to strong growth at its teen-focused Hollister brand. The company's namesake brand sales fell 5%, while Hollister grew 19%. Abercrombie has been leaning on partnerships and international expansion to grow sales. Canada Goose shares rose by nearly 9% after CNBC reported that its controlling shareholder received bids to take the company private. Private equity firm Bain Capital is looking to offload its holding in Canada Goose. Boyo Capital and Advent International have made verbal offers valuing Canada Goose at roughly $1.3 billion. Lego posted a 12% jump in revenue during the first half of 2025, reaching $5.4 billion. The company added a record 314 new sets during that period. Lego also opened 24 new stores globally during the first 6 months of the year. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
When you need any job done outdoors, you need 5-Star Outdoor Services. They handle it all. Lawn care, landscaping, power washing, concrete, clearing, decks, privacy fencing, you name it, they can do it. With pride in their work and at a price that's right. 5-Star Outdoor Services is a local company with your satisfaction their main goal. Dependable, reliable, and affordable. See for yourself. Google 5-Star Outdoor Services or check them out on Facebook for all jobs outdoors. 5-Star Outdoor Services.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Always good to talk with Mayor D.C. Reeves about things going on in the city. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Great to have you. But I want to talk about something that is not at the top of most anybody's priority list, but it's important to me, and we failed to talk about it last week, so I want to make sure and get it done first so I don't forget again.
All right.
The inland port concept as, like, what is, I think I understand what this is going to do, but you tell me, what is the purpose of taking a swath of land somewhere in the city and creating basically an auxiliary port area?
Exactly. It can be confusing. As a matter of fact, I believe there were some local officials 10 years ago when this first conversation came up and said, well, how are you going to build a canal all the way to the bay from this inland port?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but right, okay, yeah.
No, it can be kind of confusing to understand what's an inland port. It's almost an oxymoron, right?
Am I to understand that you plan to build a canal? Is that what you're saying here on the show?
Yeah, it's going to be called the McKay Canal.
Nice.
all the way to the bay.
With a kayak launch, right?
Well, for sure. Yeah, of course. But an inland port, what it really does is it allows us to have port uses, port activity in places that are in less prime locations. And if you think about Pensacola's port, we're very unique in the fact of how small we are. We're 50 acres in the heart of a downtown. It's one of those uses where you would want to be able to do things. Take the GE nacelles right now. Well, you see there's a bunch of nacelles if you look on port. But where are those coming from? Those are coming from Scenic Highway. They're being used as storage there, and then they're going out on truck and train.
Oh, did we just lose the mayor? Oh. Call back, DC. Let me send him a text real fast. Oh, man, I hate it when that. There he's got him back. Put him on, John. Technology is great until it's not.
Hey.
We had him. You there, DC?
Yep, I'm here.
Sorry about that. Okay, so the nacelles are manufactured at the two manufacturing facilities, and then they're put together at GE Vernova, and then they go to the port to sit.
That's correct. And so here's this prime property. Now, if we had 1,000 acres on a port, then maybe the uses aren't as important, or the storage capacity isn't as vital. But considering the fact that we only have 50 acres, why not have more port property where we can kind of kill two birds with one stone? We can still serve as storage for things like that, but then use that very finite property on the water for people who really need that primary water usage. So that's what the important thing is, in our opinion. And so it just gives us more options. It allows us to create more jobs and gives us more flexibility to do some of those activities that can be done inland. And so in inland, really the two principal functions is not only is it more – it's acreage, right, just storage, places to put things, and potentially buildings and jobs. But additionally, you have a transfer there. It's obviously the plan so that you would be able to train.
So what I'm confused about, though, is why does it need to be a part of the port? What advantages confer from that? Why can't it just be like the storage facility? I mean, it just can be a plot of land with some fence. It would seem like you guys are smart. There's got to be some additional benefit. I mean, is it a customs benefit? Is it a duty of? I mean, what is the value of it being a port thing?
It's really the other thing, the customary needs and clearances of doing port type activity, and so keeping that consistent versus just having, you know, what's the difference between that and the city's laydown yard, right?
I mean, right,
in terms
exactly.
of security, in terms of fencing, in terms of things like that. So there's just certain standards and protocols that are going to be needed for businesses to be able to use it. Could think about it this way. Why is GE using the port for storage? It isn't that they can't find a big parking lot somewhere and rent it from someone, but it's got security. It's got certain clearances. It's got all of those different things that allow them to have a seamless transition, custom, as you said, those types of things. So,
okay.
So it has the same amenities that are needed from a security standpoint and a kind of doing business standpoint that the port has. It just wouldn't be located directly on the water.
Well, hey, if it facilitates port profits and if it facilitates the business being done by GE Vernova and others, and it somehow works through the security and customs process in order to make that happen, I'm all happy for it. I mean, I'm eager for it.
Exactly. That's right.
I do have a sort of, you know, critic's question that is, it's not necessarily my question, but I think it's a question that comes up that some people might have, which is, okay, I hear you, but if you take the land that is currently being used this way on the port and you free it up and take all of those laid down storage kind of capacities and push them off somewhere else inland, do you not also run the risk of basically turning the port into kind of a land opportunity for developers? You know, the long time concern that people have is that they're going to basically destroy the port or, you know, really cut it down and turn it into high rises or something like that. I need to take a quick traffic break, but I'll come back with your answer in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We just had an accident pop up on Old Palafox and East Burgess Road. We've got some roadway blocked with that. Also, 98th going westbound toward the Garson Point Bridge. Traffic is backed up all the way to Woodlawn Beach due to that construction zone. So pack your patience with that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back with D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. I laid out the nightmare scenario of sorts. You know, the people who are always worried that the port's going to get turned over to developers or something like that. And I hear in my brain their voice, which is, well, it sounds like this is facilitating maybe not an entire project like that, because why build an inland port if you're going to get rid of the port? But an inland port would at least free up some land that maybe could be developed, which is exactly what they've been chomping at to get for forever. Your thoughts?
Sure. Well, first of all, if that were the case, storing the cells would not be the thing that would be stopping that. So I just want to be clear as an alibi. In other words,
gotcha.
the minute amount of money of surface storage on the parking lot would not be the hindrance like a multi-year lease would be. So to disprove that point, if that was the undermining effort, then nothing about an inland port or a lack of an inland port would stop that effort. So,
got it.
But that isn't what we're doing. At the end of the day, what we want is there are certain uses, i.e. American Magic, i.e. conversations that we can't tell you who yet, type of conversations with potential enormous job creators here and potentially in the DoD space. That would want that finite property because they would have to have access to the water. GE doesn't, a nacelle doesn't need access to the water. So it's just about putting all of our puzzle pieces in the right locations to be successful. And I've said that about the port since before I took this job. When you have a 50-acre port, this is not Savannah. This is not LA, where you've got acres and acres of cargo type activity. You've got to be, if we want this thing to shine and maximize its potential, we have to be very smart and strategic about every single acre, every single square foot of this property because of its location. So, and because of its size. So what just store it, I mean, put it this way, put it simply, if we can store stuff that doesn't need water access and we can still do it as a port function, but not give up and not waste that valuable space to be able to put another job creator, another tenant, another warehouse like that on port, then why wouldn't we do that? You know, I mean, that's really the way to look at it. That's what the value of the inland port is let's do the easier stuff, the simpler stuff somewhere else, still keep the revenue, still have the business, and then allow things that can't be done inland to happen on our port, you know, in terms of job creation.
And, you know, people may not realize, it's understandable they don't know, but for the longest time, Gulf Power and I guess FPL was using some of the facilities on the port just for, like, parts storage, you know, like just in that building. It was
right.
just for,
exactly.
you know, for, I mean, the most low grade use, but it was a way to make a little bit of money. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that have been done historically. So I love your answer. What I hear you saying is there's a deal in the works that you can't tell me about, DOD, that is going to bring a lot of jobs and a lot of revenue here. We're very excited about it. Trust me, This is good for us if that doesn't materialize. This is extra super good for us if any of that stuff does materialize. And okay, I can take that. You know, plus the McKay Canal excites me.
Exactly.
the Black Lives Matter mural. I know in the grand scheme of things, it's not all that significant. But you know, these are the things that capture people's attention. You said that Cervantes would have to be closed, and that's a state road, and you guys don't have the resources under the time frame of September 4th to get this done. But do we know ballpark what the cost is going to be? Because we assume that if FDOT does it and charges you, it's going to cost more than if the city did it through their own resources.
Yeah, it's funny. I've seen that wild assumption mentioned online, too. You know, well, definitely going to cost more if it's FDOT. Well, FDOT has more equipment and more employees at the ready than we do. And so I wouldn't assume that. And that's why we don't mention it's not cost. We've said we will take the cost. It's on a city street. That's not an issue. But my conversation on Sunday with FDOT was, look, you know, if this is going to happen in 8 days and we've got to, you know, we're not Tampa, we're not Orlando in terms of the size of our public work staff. And then secondly, I don't think it would be a full closure. I'm not saying it would be a full closure, Cervantes, but you are going to absolutely close turn lanes and approaches off of Cervantes.
Sure.
You have to. I mean,
of
you
course.
Couldn't have people turning south on the A Street coming east or west. So there'd be partial closures of Cervantes, no doubt about it. And frankly, this area butts up to your road, the state road. And so, you know, we don't want to, you know, what's the right color paint you want us to use? What's the right size turn lane? I mean, in my mind, what really triggered saying, hey, FDOT, fine, we are absolutely going to comply, but can you just help us out? And from a resource standpoint, we'll pay the bill. But was the timeline. That, I mean, that's what my concern was, is to say, hey, it needs to be done in 8 days.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of am concerned, what's the message that sends to our citizens that have potholes for 3 months and 6 months, that have,
right.
You know, that we're dealing with safety issues, you know, true public safety issues that are at a critical juncture that we're working on and our crews are on as I'm sitting here talking to you right now.
Well,
so,
and you also,
so again,
I mean, you kind of hinted
it's
at
not adversarial.
Yeah.
It's not adversarial. It's not, we are not any presumption or headline you've read that says that we're not going to comply. That's not what we've said. We will absolutely comply with state and federal law. This was only going to be there for 6 months, I believe, when it went into 2020. It's 2025. So we have no issue with the decision. All we're saying is, hey, help us out. You need this done in 8 days. Just help us out and send us the bill.
And they virtually offered you that as an option. What might have been read as a threat was actually just, here's an alternative way to do it. And you kind of hinted at it, but if they do the work, they can't come back later and say the work wasn't done to our standards because they're doing the work, which
correct.
Is a nice additional,
correct.
You know, guarantee on the quality of the thing. The VO scooters. God, we're running out of time. We always run out of time. We need to do another town hall, another radio town hall. Anyway, VO scooters. Some people loved them. A lot of people hated them. Why are we getting rid of them?
I'll give you the short version. Ultimately we asked our residents and yes, I've gotten emails because VO sent a text to every person who's ever used a VO, and said that it's affecting tens of thousands of Pensacola residents. Now, they probably should have Wikipedia'd that there's only 55,000 city residents, because I don't think 80% of our people are using them, number one. Number two is, and I shared this with them in our call when they were looking for a renewal, is if they would have put this much effort into talking to our residents about safety and being proactive about driving on the sidewalks and all of these things that clearly had not happened when I was on a call with them. As a matter of fact, it's so tone deaf that the request that came in for a renewal was, can we go back to 2 a.m. and can we go back to allowing driving on sidewalks in Palafox?
Oh, so they had no idea. They had no idea what was going on.
No
here.
Idea.
Okay.
So yeah, what I would say is, for their future contracts, if they'd spend less time sending texts out pleading with people to keep it and more time actually focused on the people who live here, then we probably wouldn't be in this situation. So, but I leave it open. Listen, I love the idea of manual bikes downtown, a bike share like that. I love multimodal aspects, as you know, Andrew. I mean,
yep.
We're investing in so many of them, the built environment. But the bottom line is, this is not functioning as is, and we were so far in a delta of what their expectations are and what ours are. And ultimately, this was generating about $20,000 a year to the city budget. So it's not, you know, so they may have been making a lot of money, but you know, this is not something that's coming back to the taxpayer for something that we were just turning right around and using that money to clean up the pits and, you know, where they go and deal with
that's
issues.
Funny,
so,
yeah.
Well,
and
so
you've said this is a pilot.
Us,
it's a pilot program. And so sometimes pilot programs yield a no. And, you know, that's fine.
Exactly.
I also hear you saying that you want rental skateboards downtown. So that's cool, along with the canal. That's excellent.
Exactly.
Maybe not exactly. All right, lightning round. We always like to end with this. I think I know what the answer to this has to be, but I'm still curious. Have you ever stapled a buck at Meguiar's or Hub Stacy's or, you know, anywhere that does this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, back when the bathrooms at Meguiar's were right on the right behind the kind of the meat locker over there, that was my first dollar I got probably 35 years ago.
All right. Wow.
I think I've gotten Destin and Panama City now, too, as well. The new one.
So lots of D.C. Reeves' wealth is invested in the walls and ceiling at Meguiar's. Do you read the instruction manual on your car or any instruction manual, or do you just go to it when there's a problem?
Yeah, once I'm not smart enough to figure it out, then I go, which usually means pretty quickly, you know, some kind of button I'm looking for. No. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give it a dry run, Andrew, normally, and then we'll see what happens.
Try it on your own, maybe YouTube, and then eventually, if you have to, go to the manual. Is your porch light on at night, off at night, on all day long? What's your porch light protocol?
I guess the outside lights are on. I think, yeah, outside lights are on.
Okay.
But I'd like to say it was scientific or timed or something like that. I think it's just when we remember to hit it. But I think the intent is to have it on at night.
Okay. All right. Inviting, open, lit up, all of that. And the bugs love you too. Okay. Fair enough. D.C. Reeves, mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right, I do, and this computer freezing up, but still dealing with the accident that happened on 98 and East Bay Boulevard. We're still dealing with a roadblock in the westbound lane. Traffic is backed up all the way to Woodlawn Beach. So if you're on 98 westbound trying to get to the Garcon Point Bridge or past that, just know you're going to have about a 10 to 15 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound heading into Pensacola, or westbound, however you want to look at it. We're seeing some delays there, about a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you're 64 turning 65, you're going to get converted over onto Medicare, but that can be a little bit confusing, a little strange. You can have some apprehension. You shouldn't. It's very simple. Ricky Stewart can help you with that. She's a good friend. I've known her as long as we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one piece. You got questions about supplement and prescription drugs and Advantage and Medicaid and no, just call her. It's easy. And she's delightful to talk to. You'll love her. 341-2185 or look her up online, insuredbyricky.com, for Ricky Stewart Insurance.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Hey, does this suit make me look fat?
No, no, no. Your face does.
Tommy boy. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, seven protesters were arrested after entering Microsoft's corporate headquarters and entering and refusing to leave CEO Brad Smith's office. Apparently, two of those seven were Microsoft employees. They were protesting the Israeli military's alleged use of the company's software as part of the invasion of Gaza.
So they broke into Microsoft to eat the bagels and do a sit-in over the...
That's about the long and short of it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Good. Hey, so I used to teach logic, and, you know, some people could have maybe benefited from a little more of it in their education. It's lacking.